Hello everyone, welcome to our Daily Manna. In our lives today, whenever we ask something from God, we ask for signs and wonders to really confirm that it's from Him. And there are moments in our lives that whenever we pray for something, we really want to be sure that it's from God. And so in our lives, you see, when we consider these things, we actually think that, you know, this is just familiar just because of the situation that we have today. But whenever we will look at God's Word, we can actually see there that this scenario is not something that is new. But during the time of Jesus Christ, there were signs and wonders that He did to declare who He is and who is the God that He has been serving. And so when Jesus did those miracles and signs, it was a declaration to His followers about, you know, the kind of personality, the kind of character that He has as the Son of God. And today, I just want to direct your attention in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. The word of the Lord says, "On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Woman, why do you involve me?' Jesus replied. 'My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever He tells you.' Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim. Then He told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.' They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then He called the bridegroom aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now.' May the good Lord bless the reading of His word." You see, I just want us to look at the 3 qualities that Jesus displayed while doing this miracle. The first thing that I want us to learn and understand is that Jesus' miracle points to that time where Jesus was actually willing to meet the needs of the situation. If we're going to read at John 2:7, it says here, "Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water,' and they filled them up to the brim." When Jesus was told that there was no wine left, He responded it was not yet His time to do that miracle, to do that sign. The lack of wine was, during that time, was very crucial because it actually points out that there's nothing left. Or, you know, the reservation back then of wines, maybe it was finished. And it was very shameful because it was a wedding feast. And so Jesus acted up upon that need because it was needed for Him. And so this message actually shows that through the miracle, Jesus met the need and revealed His power to show these people, because these people has concerns. And by doing this miracle, Jesus actually declared that, you know, this power that He has is something that comes from God alone. And the second thing that I want to point out here is that this actually shows, this act of Jesus shows His abundant grace. In John 2 verse 9 to 10, it says here, "When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now.'" Jesus did not only turn water into wine, but He turned it into an excellent wine. He went beyond what was expected and upheld the host's honor so that for them, they will not be actually ashamed of what happened. And so during this time, even the wedding was not a critical life-to-death situation, Jesus was still able to abundantly meet the need of those people back then. And this shows His blessed fruitfulness and provision. This shows His grace that even in those moments where these people needs a lot of things, needs a miracle, needs a sign, Jesus was too quick to act with so much grace with Him. And the third thing that I want us to understand and remember is that this miracle points out to the humility of Jesus Christ. In John 2 verse 9, it says here, "When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom." You see, what I really like about Jesus here is you see, Jesus could have actually taken the credit for himself. He could actually tell those people there, oh, I was the one who did that. I was the one who performed the miracle. But just during this time, the host was the one who received the credit for the wine. It was the host who received the credit. And turning water into wine was something that we can consider as the first miracle of Jesus. This was indeed the first miracle of Jesus in Cana. But not only that, during this time, it was also Jesus manifesting the glory of God in the humblest way possible. And for those behind the scenes. And one thing that I understand about here is that when Jesus was performing all these signs and miracles, he was not just taking the good light towards him. But in that moment alone, he was just, you know, allowing God to shine through, God's glory to shine through, so that these people around him would know that it is indeed by God's glory and through God's glory that Jesus was able to do that. You see, in our life, my brothers and sisters in Christ, there are times that, you know, whenever we look at those situations, it's easy for us to think that we can do it on our own. But the very reason why we need to consider and always think that it is only through God's glory, it is only by Him that we can able to survive or surpass anything in our life, it's because of God's graciousness. And you see, when I look at this kind of situation, I always believe and uphold that Jesus is still performing miracles in our lives today. So whatever our needs are, I know, I believe deep inside my heart that God is able to meet that desire, to meet that need. Because He is our God who is gracious. And, you know, one example of that, good example of that, is that in our deepest need, the need of salvation, God was able to send His one and only Son so that you and me can experience salvation in our life today. Allow me to pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be reminded that in every need that we have, you are always quick to listen. Forgive us, Lord, if in those moments we panic, we worry, if there were times, Lord God, that our human intention overcomes our faith. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, that above everything else, trust in you and not on our own understanding. Lord, thank you because in the light of your word today, it has put our limitation into the aspect of a limitless God. And thank you, Lord God, because you are our God who is good, who is compassionate, who is full of grace. And it is my prayer, Lord, that every day in our lives, you will continually remind us, Lord, of your goodness. And today I pray for my brethren, in whatever challenges, in whatever situation, in whatever problem that they are facing, Lord, I pray that you will meet their needs, meet them where they are right now, and allow them to know, Lord God, your power. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.